tree. Making daisy chains and watching all the honeybees.
So welcome, Roshenda Sandal,
Ooh. My
favourite actress from Crouch End.
Thanks so much for having me.
I know you've been here before, but I've had a bit of a change round since you came last, as you can see.
Yes, table's by the window, sofa is in the corner, all ready and snug next to the fire.
I've picked a million herbs today.
Yeah, I can see.
For you to look at and try and guess what they are. I'm sure that you'll know what most
of
them are.
I know a few of them, but a few of them are a mystery.
Ooh, and I know you love cooking as well,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, I love it.
So I thought we could talk about a few sort of autumny recipes and things.
Yeah.
But I know we're very excited and we just can't wait to get started. But we're going to talk about herbs today, Shen.
Oh, fantastic.
But first, let's just have a catch up.
That's nice, yeah.
You can tell us all about you, and because you're such a wonderful, brilliant person. And you came on your moped.
I came on my moped, brum brum.
So I just thought, shall we tell everybody how we know each other?
Yes. Let's tell everybody how we know each other.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. We did a play together called The Nap, written by Richard Bean in Sheffield, which was all about a snooker player and how he got conned out of his money. Mm-hmm. And we actually played it in the Crucible, where they actually do the snooker championships.
So, yeah,
and it was a great, wickedly funny play.
And we did have a real laugh, didn't
we?
Yeah,
we did, didn't we?
We had such good fun.
We had dressing rooms next to each other, so that was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was great. What was your character? Are you going to tell us?
Yes, of course, my character was a police officer, a seemingly police officer, and she was actually the con woman that was going to con the young snooker player who won the championship, or was on the way to winning the championship out of his winnings, who was played by Jack O'Connell.
Yeah.
So I had a partner called Youssef, and we tricked him out of his money, basically, by pretending that we were the police.
And I know, like, we've got things in common because, my dad was a policeman.
Yes. And my stepdad is a police officer as well. Yeah, still is today. Yeah.
And you've done a lot of...
Police people.
You've done a lot of detective roles. How do you feel about that? Do you think you could be a real policewoman?
No, I don't think I could be a real policewoman. I think they're kind of being stitched up a little bit at the moment with their pensions, and the incentives to join the police aren't as great as they once were, and the work is a lot harder now. Because, you know, my stepdad kind of does a 45-mile radius on his own now, and I feel like that's... If you were a woman doing that, for example, I mean, you know how people can be. I'm not sure how safe that is. It used to be you had to have a partner with you, But now there's so much of a shortage of police officers, particularly in rural areas.
So if you came across a really cross farmer and you're on your own, he might sort of throw you into the silage.
Yeah, you might get thrown in. Thrown in the harvester.
You'd never come out. What else could you get thrown into?
You could get thrown into the sheet dip.
That
wouldn't be very nice. That would not be very nice.
Because didn't you do a play when
you...
Yeah, that was it. What was that play?
It was called Gundog at the Royal Court. Yeah,
that was so good.
Yeah, and I dyed my hair because I had this idea that she would just every now and then just dip her hair in the sheet dip.
You have really played some amazing parts, haven't you?
I've been so lucky.
Since The Nap, I mean, I know you were doing stuff before The Nap, but since that, your career literally has rocketed, hasn't it?
Yeah. I've been so... I've got a great team behind me, so I'm extraordinarily lucky for that.
You are brilliant as well.
Thanks.
You're so good. I always remember, like, when we were in The Nap, like, backstage, like, getting ready to go on, and I remember you used to do, for your character, like a pressing exercise.
Press the walls, press the walls, ground yourself.
And it's such a good exercise, you know, because I did it in the play after that I did. It was the Stephen Lowe play, Touched, and I pressed the part of the stage because it really sort of, it just helps you ground when all that adrenaline comes up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does, and it just makes you feel like your feet are on the ground. It doesn't work for me just thinking about my feet being rooted. I have to actually physically push against something. It's a bit like, you know, hugging. If I could hug it, I would as well. It's the same thing. It's the same press, a bit like hugging trees, isn't it? It's the same kind of feeling. It just
ground you.
Yeah, it stops you from feeling so nervous because your heart is... And I don't like fussing too much. I'm quite a high energy person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even need coffee in the morning to kind of wake up, do you know what I mean? So pressing and being quiet, just sitting down and having a cup of tea before you go on is so helpful for me.
Well, I'm going to make you a cup of tea now.
Oh! Oh, I know, right? How cute. Look at that.
I'm going to get
it's almost like we planned that.
We're good, aren't we?
We're ever so good, aren't we? So what tea are we having then, Esther?
Would you like some herbal tea?
Yeah, I would like some herbal tea.
Oh.
What does the chef recommend?
Well, I've got some different herbs which I recommend. I picked some out the garden today. As you can hear, Lenny's making a very big noise, but Tom will take him out in a minute. I thought... that's the sound of the lid.
Oh, yeah. That's ever so good practice.
I thought, so on the table, we've got some mint and lemon verbena.
Lemon verbena.
That's quite minty as well. Do you want to... Look, smell that one. That's the lemon verbena.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
That's
lovely.
Nice. And then there's mint. And then we've got this other verbena. So I thought maybe we could put that in as a little flower.
Oh, lovely.
I think that will add to our things. Are you feeling healthy? Have you got any things that you might need a bit of? Have you got a headache from the fever of you?
Do you know what? I would love just something refreshing like this. That would go down an absolute treat.
So we'll put some mint in there. Yeah. Ever so easy, just straight picked from the farm, from the garden.
Are these all the things that you put together, that they go together?
Well,
in, cooking and things like that.
Well, to be honest with you, this lemon balm, it's sort of... I don't know whether it's part of the mint family.
I feel like it is. It does grow like mint.
Yeah. I think it probably
is. What would you put that in? Chicken?
Well, I've never really...
I've never cooked with it.
No, the only thing I've used it with is in flavouring sweet things.
Yeah, it's quite aromatic.
Yeah, so I made, a plum jam and I put it in. That was very nice. And I think Tom's put it in his beer before. While we're stewing our tea, we'll leave that there.
Lovely.
We'll leave it next to Andrew's electrical equipment. And it
That is so safe.
Yeah. I'm just getting my tea cosy.
Oh.
Can you describe it to the listeners, Shen?
Oh, well, it's covered in Esther's favourite animals, bees. And it looks like a red woolly hat, and it's got loads of woolen bees. Did somebody knit that for you?
I know, it's so nice.
Did somebody knit that for you?
Yeah.
Who did that for you? It's so nice.
I can't remember. Oh, I'm going to get us a cup.
Oh, yeah, get us a cup. I can't drink it out of the pot.
I'm going to warm the cups up first.
Oh, okay.
Because these look, I think when it's cold.
A bit cold.
Yeah, when it's a bit cold out, if you pour your tea into a cold cup, it's not good, is it? Right then.
Oh, here we go.
So, Shen, I hope we've done it strong enough. Ooh, it's slightly green, isn't it? So that's
lovely.
A good sign.
Oh.
And, yes. That's it.
Ooh.
All right then. Oh well, I hope you enjoy the tea. Let's do a cheers.
Let's do a cheers. Don't chip the lovely cups.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you think I could have done with a few more things in it?
Oh no, for me that is so nice. Lovely and mild. I've got a couple of floaties in mine as well. Look, I've put some extra things in and it's ever so nice. It's like being at a posh hotel.
Oh, I know there's a posh, aren't I?
Oh, you're dead posh, you.
And it's always nice to have tea in a little sort of fancy cup as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of tea and saucers. I don't actually have one at the moment.
Yeah.
But I love tea and saucers. And then when I was little, I used to love playing with porcelain tea sets. You know, them little miniature ones that are kind of quite hard to break.
They were ever so cute.
They were so cute. I know. My grandparents used to buy me those. It's before the days of computers, isn't it?
Did you used to like to do make-believe little scenarios?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of my most famous ones is I used to really have a group of imaginary chickens that used to follow me around, and I used to collect grass seed for them and just little bits of grain, the things that looked like corn, and put them, fill my pockets full of them, and I'd go and hide on my own and feed my imaginary chickens. So if you couldn't find me, I was always kind of like underneath this like the tiny mini willow tree in the in my grandma's back garden feeding imaginary chickens. Oh. And they all used to follow me around all the time, yeah.
Oh, my God, that is so cute.
And my friend's just got some chickens as well. And I was telling him and he was just like, you are off the wall, girl.
You know, I don't think you told me you had imaginary chickens.
Didn't I?
Especially because I used to keep chickens, real ones.
Oh, no, real ones, mind you.
But so if your imaginary chickens were here now, what would you say to them?
Oh, this is what I do. I collect the grass seed and I go like this. Chick, 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 chicken. Chick, 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 chickens. And throw the grass seed. But really, so no one else can hear. It was a private thing, you know.
Oh,
I know. I know. I'm making myself out sound like a right lonely child, aren't I?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So I'm going to tell you a bit about all these herbs. Well, not all of them, because I've got so many on the table.
Oh, it looks absolutely amazing.
And a little bit about the sort of history of one or two of them.
Nice.
And what people believed that, that they were good for.
Yeah, great, great. It's like being at school.
We've got all the usuals, like we've got lovely parsley. There is a...
Oh, parsley there.
Well, you thought that was parsley, but guess what it is?
What is it then?
It's actually carrot tops.
Oh, it's carrot top. I should have known that.
If you were making a pesto,
yeah,
you can use that if you've run out of basil or parsley or whatever you use. And you can use it and people don't realise. And it's really nice.
Yeah, carrot top pesto with roasted carrots. Putting the pesto on top, that is delicious.
Is it, Shen?
Yeah, that's one of the Rutherford recipes.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. We follow our recipe.
You're so good at cooking. I know you're really good. You like chilies, don't you? And I've got a few, some chilies.
Yeah.
I've got quite a few outside still left. But
oh, they're doing ever so well, aren't they?
Yeah.
They like the heat.
What have you been growing any?
I haven't been growing any this year. I've done flowers this year. My pots.
You're just too busy to grow anything, aren't
I know,
you?
Everything just dies off. But I've got my fig tree at the bottom, so that's always nice and satisfying when they go
there. I loved all the things.
I wanted to be a little bit more experimental and maybe do something with the leaves, because apparently the leaves are delicious.
Have you tried it yet?
I've not tried it yet. I need a bit of time to...
Chicken? So if you get a big fig leaf and lay it on the bottom of your roasting pan...
Oh.
Or wrap your chicken thighs in the fig leaf and tie it with a bit of string. Absolutely
really?
Delicious. Yeah.
It just keeps the juice in. But is the skin of the chicken, you know, like you don't get the crispy skin of the chicken.
Yeah, well, you could do it. You could
caramelise it
or
first.
Or you could do it with some chicken breasts. Or you could just leave the fig leaves, just stuff the fig leaves inside the chicken and around the chicken.
And what, do you eat the leaf?
No, I think it just uses it for the flavour.
Oh, because I've heard of it in ice cream. Apparently in ice cream it's supposed to be delicious.
Well, all those fig leaves, you can just start wrapping stuff
up in it.
Yeah,
we're going to start wrapping stuff now.
Yeah, just experiment.
As of tonight, I'm starting with my fig leaf wrapping.
There's a herb on the table here that's really good for memory. Do you know which one it might be? Do you remember?
Do you know what? I don't know. I don't know that.
So it's actually... rosemary.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so...
Right.
So it's people often think, you know, rosemary for remembrance and rosemary for love and, in fact...
rosemary for potatoes.
In fact, Ophelia at the end of Hamlet in Act 4, Scene 5, says, "There's rosemary, that's for remembrance. Pray, love, remember." So it's obviously a long, long time ago, people have been using it to remember things. Mm. And they used to, the Romans used to make like these lovely crowns to put around people's heads.
Oh,
and actually, they've discovered that, you know, it's really good for your memory. So people have been going mad buying their kids rosemary oil. Before they go into exams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, to put under their tongue or...?
Well, you know, to rub on them or to eat or whatever.
Oh, because I have had rosemary water before.
Have you?
That was, yeah, it was like fizzy carbonated water with rosemary and I guess it was the oil.
So I've made, this morning before you came,
whoa,
I made some rosemary oil.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I mean, how do you go about doing that?
So look.
Oh, you just dipped it in some... Oh, yeah, it smells like it's Sunday dinner.
Oh, I know. Oh. So anybody can do that. I've done it in the slow cooker.
So people are just crazy going out and buying it, like, kind of £15 a bottle, and they could easily do it themselves.
Yeah, so all this is we're going to let it cool so we can try it a bit in a bit, but all this is I've put about 6 sprigs of rosemary into 2 cups of olive oil, and then I just put it in the slow cooker for a couple of hours on high. And, you know, you could add this. There's lots of things you can do with it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, like I said, the Romans used to put it like, you know, make garlands around the head.
Yeah.
But actually, it's really good for your hair. It's really good for your hair. It's really good for your scalp. And it's really good for memory. So it's almost like it's sort of good for your head.
Yeah. It's a head thing. And them Romans, they knew what they were talking about.
I know. Mm. So do you think if I gave you some, would you use any of that?
Yeah, I would use some of that. I always use anything you give me, Esther.
Do you think it could... Are you good? Well, how good are you at remembering your lines?
Oh, I'm quite a quiet learner, so I just let it seep in. I'm good if I like it. Yeah. This is the trouble of an actor, isn't it? Yeah. You know, I'm good if I'm enjoying it, I can get it in quite quickly. But if it's a bit harder, like police jargon or something like that, it takes a little bit of time to soak in.
Yeah. So do you think rosemary oil might help you?
It might help me, yeah. Yeah, rosemary oil with a mixture of lion's mane mushroom and cordyceps. And
yeah.
I just love anything like that, you know me.
So do you think you'd sit there with it on your head and you'd have your script with you?
Oh, yeah, just a few drops. Or what I could do is just put a few drops on my scalp and while I'm learning my lines, get Mark to rub my head.
Yeah.
Because that then it's soaking right into the brain.
Can you tell us who Mark is?
Yes, he's
I mean,
my
of course,
partner.
I know who he is.
You know who he is. He's the big chin man from Leeds.
And Mark's also an actor, isn't he?
He is. He's a lovely actor. He's one of my favourite actors.
So this tea that we've got, it's got lemon balm in. And in the old days, they used to think that lemon balm lifted the spirits.
Oh, yeah, I can see why.
Yeah, so, and also that they thought that it actually, if you rubbed it on, it would help with stings and bites. So that's quite good for them.
Oh, really? What, before the dock leaf?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Probably, because it's got that sort of funny texture, hasn't it?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. And you can use it as essential oil as well, can't you?
Yeah, but nowadays I think they, because it does lift your spirits, they also mix it in with like calming herbs because it's got that flavour. And some of the calming herbs, you know, especially some of these roots like valerian root are quite sort of powerful and the flavour's a bit strong. So a lemon balm could
mix
really,
it with that.
Yeah.
And it might be a great balance of valerian root takes you right down.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It might be
true.
Nice to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever, when you were at RADA, did you ever, like, because everybody was, I mean, they were in our year. I mean, I know you're a lot younger than me, but I used to, like, bring in all sorts of herbal teas to calm people's nerves.
Oh, to calm people's
nerves. And I went to this place on the Fulham Road, and because I couldn't sleep, you know, I was just, like, my anxiety levels were high, and so was everybody else's.
Yeah, of course.
And so they gave me these herbs. And I just, I mean, I must have gone in and went, please help me, I can't sleep. You know, so they gave me like really strong ones and it literally paralysed me in my bed. I couldn't move.
What, like sleep paralysis?
Well, yeah, I just sort of like, I woke up with my eyes opened, but I couldn't move my body. They were so strong, what they gave me.
Blimey heck, what was that?
I don't know. But anyway, I gave them to other girls on the course.
Oh, so you got paralysed and you gave them to everyone else?
Yeah, it did knock you out, but it was to the point where it paralysed you, to the point where you couldn't move. And I think I must have taken too much, but nobody could believe it, and everybody was coming in and saying, bloody hell, that tea, it's like, I couldn't move. And so I did it, I told my dad about it, and he said, I'm going to try this, what is this? Anyway, I gave my dad some,
And my dad was, he couldn't move either. And he couldn't believe it. And he said, my arms were like, I couldn't bend them. And I said, no, and I couldn't. I don't know what it was.
But were you asleep or was you like awake knew that you were paralysed, so you were conscious?
Yeah, it was something so strong. And it was it was a herbalist selling this on, it was like down the Fulham Road.
You're too funny.
Anyway, I don't think anything that you're taking now is going to make you
feel
like that.
Until now, boom. Yeah.
But on the table, Shen, what sort of things, like, do you use any of these in your cooking?
Rosemary, sage, of course. Yeah. Sage is pretty hard to get hold of, though.
Oh, well, you can take that.
I want to come
round here. Yeah. So the sage, I love this, because you can actually, you know, take a leaf off and you can dip it in, like, egg and flour and just fry the leaf.
That was what I was going to ask you. Is that how you fry your sage leaves, then?
I do it in butter.
Yeah.
You can just put them in butter like that, and they're so delicious.
Yeah, I wanted to try that because, obviously, with it being, you know, Halloween season, there's so much pumpkin around.
Oh, and it's great with pumpkin.
Yeah, and in the veg box and everything, we do the same veg box.
I know.
There's so much squash.
Oh, I know.
Carrot, and it just goes so well with that.
Well, I haven't started getting my Rutherford.
You'll still be living off
because I'm still having these, but it's such a good box, isn't it?
Such a good box.
But the great thing about sage, again, you know, when we're talking about the rosemary for memory.
Yeah, and what's sage?
Well, Tom was saying this is, it's an indigenous of America. And
is it really?
Yeah, and they used to use it a lot for cleansing.
Well, of course, the sage, well, I don't know what you call them. They look like cigars, don't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I always thought it was that anyway, because, you know, if you want to, like, cleanse something, like a room, and they use it in, I don't know whether some religions use
it. Is it Buddhism?
I think so.
I feel like it's Buddhism, yeah. My friend's a Buddhist.
But it's quite mystical, isn't it?
And
they burn it, and it cleanses. And when I was like, because I love all spells and stuff like that.
Yeah, you don't.
I know. And and sage is really good for, like, cleansing a new space. So if you wanted to, like, a fresh start, you can sort of burn some sage, or you could even rub it. You know, if, like, you want to get rid of, you know, something, you can just... I wonder whether it was used because it's such a powerful herb, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very powerful. I mean, I'm surprised about the American fact. Yeah. I didn't know that. To me, I thought sage was so English.
I know that in the ancient, like, medieval times, if you could grow good sage, it really reflected how good you were with money.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's interesting.
That's very interesting. The cleanse and then the money and then like starting again and refreshing.
I mean,
it's interesting.
I find that's what I was interested in. Like, I was just doing a bit of reading about how, like, bay, again, another really, really strong...
Very strong.
...flavour.
Love bay.
Apparently, like... you know, bay is another one of these protective ones. So in wars, like in the Roman times, they used to make the crown of bay leaves. And also, after a battle, people would, like, give a bay leaf. You know, in victory, people would give a bay leaf out.
Well, and is the beige and the sage, are they quite sturdy plants? Because I know bay, it just keeps going and going and going. My bay tree are never without leaves.
Mm.
It's so sturdy. Is sage the same?
Well, no.
Does it have a season?
Well, the thing is with sage is that, you know, like bay, you just can't kill it.
You can't kill it?
But sage, you can. So maybe that was why it showed if you were good with sage.
You were good
with your money or something
Yeah, I see what you mean. Very careful.
Because if you break sage off and you keep breaking it off, in the end, the plant will die.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's not hardy like that. Right. Oh, God, yeah. It's a bit more pretentious, the old sage leaf. Bay, common as muck.
So I know you're interested in sort of mystical and spells and things. Would you ever consider making a spell when you were, you know, for anything, for good luck or anything like that?
Oh, God, yeah, all day long. All day long. You know me, I come round here and join in. I've got my cauldron ready next week for Halloween. Are you going to do any spells?
Well, I think I might do a spell to help the world be a better place.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice.
So maybe I'll use my sage for cleansing, the rosemary for remembrance of this year so far.
Oh, and also the last 2 years.
Yeah. You know? But this year so far has been like a complicated year, hasn't it?
It really has. It's like getting back to where we were, and we're not quite there yet, are we?
But the interesting thing about this time of year, if we're going to be making spells and stuff, apparently time was used to try and sort of communicate in the old days with fairy folk.
Oh!
Yeah. So, and even the dead. So if you, like, brewed up some time, you know, maybe in a tea or something, you were supposed to be able to contact the dead.
Oh, I'm not sure about time in tea, is it?
Well, you can have a time tea. I mean, it's meant to be...
It sounds a bit like for meat and things like that.
Well, it is very good for good health. And also, it's meant to help you stop having nightmares if you take it at night.
Oh, really?
But, you know, I always like to contact the dead. So, or maybe if we rub this, we might be able to...
Oh, yeah, should we have a little
Shall
rub?
We see who we can contact?
Who's out there? Oh, no, you know what they're like, though. They'll jump out on you.
Do you think now you've sniffed that?
Yeah, now I've sniffed that, I'll get a blooming fright now.
Do you think when you walk down the road now, who do you think you'll see?
Oh, you know me, I see my nana every day, don't I? She's a robin. And she does jump up on me, and she knows what she's doing as well. When I'm walking home from the pub and I'm a bit too drunk, she flies past my head.
Does she?
Yeah, she does, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think she's saying to you?
She's saying, get home now, go to bed. Stop mucking about.
I was thinking of putting this thyme, so this could be nice, in some honey.
That would be nice because it's nice with cheese.
So I was going to, I mean, you can have thyme honey and in Greece and places like that.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
But I was going to put this in the honey and then leave it to steep for about 3 weeks, and then it'll be a really lovely, robust flavour.
That would be so nice drizzled over cheese.
Yeah. So we'll do that. We'll put it in the honey jar. So I've got some honey here. Oops.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And we'll stuff it in. Put it into the jar. And then close the jar. And then next time you come round in 3 weeks, we'll...
have some thyme and honey.
Yeah, that'll be nice, won't it?
Yeah, that'll be lovely, that.
But you've got to make sure your parsley, your thyme is quite dry, because you don't want any water on it to get into the honey, because then it will start to ferment a bit faster.
All right, okay.
And then I thought we've got two things to try. Yes. We've got some herb honey. I don't know whether I've got this to... I'm just going to get a spoon. And then we've got some biscuits.
Oh, fantastic. What a way to end. Vicky Sue.
So I've made some herb shortbreads. You could dip them in your tea, but I don't know what that'd be like. And, you know, most people think shortbread is with, you know, a sweet thing. These are sweet, but I've put savoury herbs in. So I've done rosemary, basil and lemon, and I've done actually a bit of lavender. So, of course, a bit like my labels with chilies and stuff, I've forgotten and I don't know which one's which, so you'll just have to guess.
Oh, you'll just have to guess. Oh, thanks ever so much.
Let's have a look, so...
Well, they smell delicious.
Mmm. Mm. I wonder if I'm not putting enough herbs in. Can you taste any herbs?
I can taste the herb.
What herb have you got?
I think I've got thyme.
Rosemary.
Have you got rosemary?
We said on the recipe, 1 teaspoon of herbs in the recipe, but I think I could have done with a bit more.
I think it could hold a lot more.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes people don't like herbaceous, like, like they find it too perfumey, so maybe they're just kind of...
It's gentle, though, isn't it?
And now it's got herbs in it. Having a biscuit is one of the five a day. Boom. Health.
Good idea.
Do you know what I mean?
Shen, what work have you got coming up next?
So I'm going to take a little bit of a rest because I've got a promotion for my next project coming up, which is called The Rig, which is about a group of people that get stuck on an oil rig.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a thriller, so this great mist descends upon this oil rig and we start to learn a little bit more about what's happening with the world. And I shall say no more.
Oh, that sounds good.
So I'm doing the promotion for that in December.
What is that?
It is a 6-part TV series for Amazon Prime. So we're going to go and do some... We shot it all in Scotland, so we're going to honour Scotland and go down and do a whole boatload of promo down there, and then we're coming back to London to officially launch it, I guess. I guess it'll be coming out maybe a month or two later. Yeah, and then that's it.
So you were actually out on a rig?
No, unfortunately, because of COVID, we couldn't get out on a rig. We were supposed to be on a discontinued rig, but they decided against the 90-minute each-way journey on the ships because we were shooting, I mean, in Scotland, and you never know with these British waters.
It's a bit
dangerous. Might end up being stuck out there, and you don't want to be kind of stuck on a rig. And plus, I'm terrified of the ocean, so...
Can you swim?
I'm a really good swimmer, but it's something to do with about the vastness of the ocean. I'm like, I can't deal with it. It's more scary to me than space.
Or is it something to do with coming from Grimsby?
Yeah, what in the pooey brown sea? Sozza Grimsby.
There's so many people from Grimsby.
I know,
right
there is now, isn't there?
I think it's Grimsby's got a good lot of people there, haven't they? Even if it has gone brown sea. So now we're finishing off with a herbal honey.
Ooh.
And I suppose it's sometimes difficult for people to imagine that bees just go on one plant. But of course, in this world where we've got so many herbs in demand, you can actually get these monofloral honeys.
I know.
And this one...
I've never actually tried one.
Yeah, I don't know whether I've got you to try this before. We're on the doorstep when we were in COVID. I can't remember, but...
No, you know what? I don't think I've ever tried one of these.
So have a try of this.
Okay.
Did I just say what it was or not?
You said a herbal honey.
All right, then. So see what you think it is.
I like it, but I don't know what that is.
It's quite unusual, isn't it? Can you tell any flavours, or is it reminding you of anything?
I can't work that out. But it's lovely and light. It's not as heavy on the palate. Well, tastes almost a little bit similar to a not high strength manuka.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's actually coriander.
Coriander?
Yeah.
Well, it does something different in honey then, doesn't it?
Well, this is... The bees have collected the nectar from this plant, coriander, and actually bees love it because it's really good for them, coriander.
So I'm just imagining coriander being grown. Is there a flower there?
Yeah, there's a little white flower.
Right.
And then that flower then bears the beautiful little seeds that are so fruity. And the last few years I've been growing it on the allotment and I've had so many lovely fruity seeds from it. So the bees have obviously been pollinating it.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Yeah, and they've really enjoyed it and, you know, so...
And coriander, when you buy it from the supermarket or something, it just dies straight away, so that's perfect, isn't it? You can just go snip a bit off when you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a nod to the bees and thank you so much...
for coming, Roshenda. I call you Shen. But what I feel a bit disappointed that we are ending the podcast, because actually me and you, we like chatting all day long, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, get ready for it, because this could be a lifetime worth of podcasts.
I'd love it if you came back.
Oh, no, I'll come back any time, Esther.
Woohoo!
Come through these cosy doors any day.
Oh, yeah. Well, next time, maybe you can bring Mark as well.
Yeah,
we could... We'll lure him into some sort of...
Yeah, we'll lure the city guy, the guy from Leeds, into the herbalist garden.
We will, yes. So thanks for coming, and I'm sorry, but I suppose we'll have to end.
Oh, all right then. Do we have to switch it off now?
We will. Boo! Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard and partly recorded at the Hives on my allotment near Crouch End in London. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy Mae Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from the Hive. Queen Bees is a Hattrick podcast.